or they can also comply without the other table agreement. So those issues have to be addressed, and that actually made us spend by 4% under spending. And with regard to the one of the 21 million, that is actually current expenditure. The current expenditure is actually the maintenance of roads for the 21 million for children. Thank you.
One of the things that worries me about yourselves in the 10, Western Cape, and almost all of you is the fact that you continuously transfer money to municipalities. Yet, the municipalities first have the ability to raise own debt. Number two, yes, they are capable. You don't have the capacity to raise your own government by one. 90% of your money, of your budget is nationally raised. Now, from the little that you have, you then decide to disperse to municipalities. Now, I'm saying municipalities have the capacity to raise, they also have the capacity to borrow, you don't have borrowing power. Get the equity of share, get conditional grants, the M and G. And you also then decide to be Father Christmas. I don't have a problem if the municipality is at all. I can show you now, what a report on the M and G performance. If the municipality is at all. So I'm just worried by that. I think personally would need to take a step backward. Firstly, allow municipalities to use their own resources to source all of those. And by the way, one of the things we are always raising with them, even before they have exhausted their resources, you know what they do? They rush to the market and borrow. Give me a thing that they borrow, find it from the city. We're saying, but why don't you exhaust all the pool in the kitchen? There is money sitting in national departments earmarked for many things, but not for many municipalities. They don't exhaust the money. From that thing, it looks like you also are contributing to this problem of municipalities not being able to spend. I would tell you again, financial gambling, because you also dump money at municipalities. I mean, I think we want to see, especially municipalities that are having a social behavior of having exhausted the MIG, and then would then come and take some of the money you are giving them. I think it would be useful for them. This is one of the things that I think we must just start doing. Let's just go back, look at capacity, but let's also look at what is in the key of the municipalities. That's what taxing power. They tax you. And this is why they use their own government. The only thing that you have is the license fees. All of which are really not able to collect 100% of that. So that thing, I think I'm worried about. Well, what you do is you compromise your own equitable share. Yet the same people have their own equitable share, and on top of that, they've got their own revenue. That's kind of thing. And I'm just saying, let's just be a bit careful. But also Mr. McCollum is giving more money on the public transport issues. Everybody is giving money to municipalities, but the no clear sewage credit. It would be nice to see the outcomes, so to speak. So I do want to urge you to come back. It's not my mission. Let's talk to them, have a broader discussion about all these things before you even despair. So that while you've got some other projects to do, at least they must also show, demonstrate the capacity to do those things. You are giving their own LEDs and local economy, by the way. Depend on good roads. can only be the soul that's on the beginning to offer permission of karma to deal and strengthen these roles in that way. And then also the context of any deal and everything else. IGP, how do you? I mean, if they also under budget, because that's one of the things we also picked up. Municipalities also under budget for roads. And I think now I know why, it's because you are assisting them. And let's take that
again. There's a question that you have been.
That is? What is that question?
The question was the percentage of the own on the qualified check of the percentage of the
equitable
share.
Of your own budget. I'm talking the whole of the equitable share. What percentage do you get? What will happen that I'll try and come back to that? Take a
thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, one thing that we have detected very seriously is a lack of capacity with municipalities. Hence, we don't give no money to municipalities. With the exception of the TV, we should get their capacity. Their own budget of construction is 600 million. So, you would expect that kind of capacity. And the money we give to them would be the money for public transport, yeah, and blood, yeah, which is 20 million. But in no other municipality, because somebody did say they construct roads that they need to be fixed before they are finished. So it's a problem. So we did have a meeting with them early December last year, trying to work on this. The point that you have just given us, next time we meet them, tell us what is in their kit. Because they do make a call of this money. But they, because of capacity, they want a money to construct the roads. You ask them the maintenance plan now. So it's a problem of capacity now and then. So I agree with you. It will take us some time, and the status of them convincing us if they are ready for that. The infrastructure I spoke about, it will be more related to 577, that beautiful, expensive road you have building. There are two, the HOD will add, but I want to take the political social part of it. It's a road that is built on a very densely populated area. And you and me would understand very well that there is no arc move from here, the track and everything, boom, no more. So you sit down with the people and you try to transplant in them. Sometimes it takes a toll and long time. That's one area which has delayed us spending the money. But last Sunday, I was with this community. This community, we have contacted them, we have put the money for moving them to create a new infrastructure. In the middle of the infrastructure, they change. They say they want 4 bedroom, 5 bedroom. You see, you check them, you tell them they want 4 bedroom. But last Sunday, we sorted ourselves out. They have begun to move. But the phase that has delayed us, which is 3, we have jumped into 4. So we continue. They will give more other technical stuff as they give. And we are very sure that 33 understanding won't be there, having started doing that. The 1 point, the million is, we have moved from hands already. We are up to this. So that 1.8 million is 1.8 billion. The last one is a suggestion from Caleb and Honorable Chair. But if these meetings could be held alternatively in provinces, so that we see that this may be the first day and we go and see those things and talk about it the next day, or vice versa. So but that would be a suggestion from Caleb.
No, that one is accepted because really it's going to be much more cost effective, and it's also going to be able to show us these things we might even talk to them to share meaning. But then as I see, if you look at the MIG issue now, look, there is a formula there, the sanitation, the water, the source, and so on, etc. But like we think from the discussion, we always might get some kind of stuff in terms of how you then deal with MIG. If you can look at that, it's a matter that we can also discuss with the deep energy. Growth are becoming the issue. Whether you've got to walk, whether you must deal with non-motorized transport, growth must be up there. What is the issue?
Thanks, Sir President. Maybe the empty as it says there, and that's the issue. The airport is also going to raise the money. The 74% of water ends at the end of December. So in the end of the second quarter, the third quarter. So by now we are much, much more than that. So the 73% is for the entire infrastructure funding in the department, of which we had a problem of the understanding that the MC was extending. And we are on top of it. So you go ahead, there is just no permanent solution in this province. The one issue you also raised was the affordability of the capacity. Really, to build up the capacity is not an easy thing. It is quite very difficult thing to solve the problem. What we do, the MC myself will go to the high schools, to the specialists, to somebody at the community will come and learn the department. But the problem is about the training of skills and it is quite a problematic area. Fortunately, in Port Natal, we do have engineers in the department in-house. So that is why we will put a stronger force. So if we need to recruit the junior people from the clinical colleges and so forth, we are able to give them that in-house training. That is where technology transfers and the department, where we actually expose them to different types of programs in terms of the engineering. We do lose them a lot, because once they are fully trained, they serve their contracts, and then the private sector will take them, or sometimes they buy them with the contract, and they pay them 4 times the amount of money that we can't really afford. But because of the continuity, we immediately go to them, because we're supposed to go right on the recruit from there. Otherwise, if we just focus on how we have the federal community. So, basically, from other provinces, we can tell them exactly how we do it, and then another problem with them is that we do have a problem, but capacity was general at the back. We don't really have. We tell them to close it, we tell them to close it, so let it out. We're more like a training center. We train them, they qualify, they go. As long as they work within the country, we're fine. But we get worried if they get out of the country to us, and that's a migration of skills. But otherwise, we are okay with that.
But they still have to go to the DRC to ruin the success. But there's absolutely no opening of that.
Yeah,
well. So
but Chairman said, talking seriously, we have raised with our executive and ourselves to say South Africa generally will have to raise our retention strategy. We have to. We see all these people that go through us as trainees. They come directly from Belgium. Mm-hmm. Wow, they can qualify. So people that we can retain. So I think as a kind of general, we have to revisit our attention for this. It's not helping us at all. We're completely uncompetitive as discussed skills within the government. Mm-hmm.
All right.
Why don't you start raising this matter? That's a very important matter. Also in the context of the teaching classes. What becomes, especially the local retention, provincial and the retention and national retention strategy. So that as you train these things, they are not going up. And clearly that means you must be able to ensure that you give this scheme. Such that it is not lost. Last week, when the immigration was here, sitting down here, I met one chef. He talks to me. He says he's from the Eastern Cape. is both his fatherland, Jihad. He has been given from the commercial subject. I said, wow, it's kind of this. Unfortunately, it was education was coming there. I said, well, why don't you just our project? Because the training, accounting, etc., we need those people. And then some, now I'm saying this, and so some of your colleagues, officials, decide we freeze this, we don't want this possibility. Not an accountant. And when the NEC was here, and I just confronted them with this chair, they started phoning females. And this is one amongst many. I suspect that millions and thousands just roaming the streets. And surely must also have a strategy to recruit and identify while we are also going to be able to obtain. We might find the new things. How do we get them? How do we identify them? But how do we ensure that in the mission fact they must not be in the city? They must continue acting in the city. Proceed there, Italy.
The last one, Chair, one piece is the shortage of funds. We've got all the funds that have been submitted to our own provincial treasury, and we've also submitted to Church of Minor, telling them exactly what our presentation is and the mark plans they have and everything else, but in the term you don't get anything. The issue of this 100 million rand, which I was talking about, they are literally fighting almost every day about this thing, and it looks like nothing is happening, and I don't know how one can ever get into it. They're talking about this 2010 and beyond, and we are so much under pressure in terms of funding that if ever we get money, we could do it, because we do have the capacity and resources to fund the construction, and this to welcome the extended moment, building construction and have the transport, and if we don't get access, then it's going to be a failure, and people don't want to understand it. So and I don't know, maybe the committee can answer that.
You see, one of the things we're saying, this is what I was saying in Dora. Your Ministry of Education must come and convince us now why we should not do something about the others. And your own provincial president must tell us why we should not do it. Because it can't affect only. In other words, what you're trying to do is just to put some pressure on the whole initial pressure. And even the National Unit of Education is coming to bring that. Precisely because we cannot allow the situation to continue unabated. I mean, enough is enough, especially for underperformance. I think now our major issue is performance and performance only, and those that perform must be emulated, must be given resources. That's just the bottom line. Let me see, you want to say something?
Yes, Jefferson, last year, you and me were going to meet our treasurer. You were going to complete the mission. You had it. Because, as the issue you said, I sound like a crash record now with this one. Maybe if there is some ways from above, you can't take 100 million back when we are crying for the particular money. So this dollar vis-a-vis this committee and the provinces, I went there to the executive now, this money is, I really scared them about this dollar. Because one other thing, I'm not telling about these laws that they work on in provinces. They were very amazed to know that I know it. They were very interested in what she said now. So you could see, but if the chair could help us with our treasurer to say, this money is not for interest, this is not fixed because it's 100 million, this money is to work. And surely, if it is put in the triangle of provincial treasurers, relevant departments, and this committee, somebody will hear.
No, we take note of that share with this small overload that we have back in the coming up to that. Limbo?
Thank you, sir. I have shared in your concern that as you hopefully spend 38% on the infrastructure, and I'm wondering where did the chair get the information, because according to our statistics, at the end of January, we were at 32%. At the end of the third quarter, I think we're at about 65-66%, but as you are speaking right now, at the end of January, we're at 72%. So I just want us to look into that one. I'm 100% sure that we are way above 58%. Chair, with the issue of the planning, it was raised that how do we, because we've already advertised it, where do we get the money and the like. It has been our practice that every year, June, July, we start identifying the critical roads and start doing the planning for them. But what we do, the money which we are using for design and many other things, we use the money for the current financial year, the 206.07. Out of that, we took the 10.2 million and used it for planning. So that come January, February, we start to advertise. And then come April, May, then we start to award. We did not use the money for 07-08, which is the money for the previous year. Because if we can wait until April and then start doing the design in April, surely we are going to run it. That is why every year, if you look at our infrastructure, we always pay all the money because we do the planning long before the time. There was an issue also of how much did we spend on the equitable share as well as the conditional grant. As I said, equitable share we are at 72%, and with the conditional grant, I would say we are at 80-something percent. And there was another question on the Gundu Lashu, how do we relate Gundu Lashu and grant? That is another thing, Chair, which we are going to look into. Right now, Gundu Lashu is going under that, but when we look at it, it is more of the EPWP program. So we are looking at the strategy, how do we take it back into the department and make sure that it is properly managed. I don't know if there is a question.
Well, this is not a agreement. I don't know what it is. It is from your own information. Roads and transport. I'm reading it. Now, the problem with this reporting is not very clear, but I'm going to read what it was for me. Road and transport, infrastructure observations. You just said you spent something in the region of what have you. The department has spent 65%. That's at 61.6. That's at last year. Expenditure only. Now in Africa this is called FARC. We call it CIG here, TIG. Expenditure only TIG is at 44.1%, indicating a drop of 12.2%. That's huge. Now if this is the reason, this being largely due to tender for the 206.07 having been to be re-advertised after the department implementing agent RAL taken to court by a dealer in early 2006. Time was lost as a result. I think this is what you said to your own provincial affairs.
Chair, you are 100% right. I'm not too sure whether it was the second quarter or the third quarter. Yes, we did have a program with a contractor together with RAM, but nothing has been resolved. And since it has been resolved, at the end of December or at the end of the last quarter, the performance was a bit high. There was a big job.
This is the current quarter.
We'll double check it, but I'm definitely
sure. Yeah, that is grand. Because, you know, New Broome City, this is what you need in section, and this is a brand new NBC there, actually. and an FC agency. So they decided to present a comprehensive report and for all the Europe. Now, and this is why that right now again, they're telling us what she's telling us, which was at the second quarter, they are reporting the first quarter here. I think that's the matter that you must go into the conscience. You see, because coming the fourth quarter, there's only last day because one of the issues we have not discussed all of us today is the credibility of the projection. Now I think that that is deliberate, because we will see that come the fourth quarter. And of course, let me just say, a rollover is not a bad thing. But it does tell a story. Some of you will then be applying for all of us. We will be watching that space. And this is why it is important for us. This hearing and this discussion that we shall have in March on the division of revenue would be so that we must then hold you to your work. Come with second and third quarter between the outside and all the financially. And you can see.
Chairperson, there are fundamentally two questions. Where do we get the money for the overhead strategy? What is good for the group is good for it. The door has been opened. The departments of governments that are concerned with the money, has happened in the province, can't understand 270 million was taken away from them because of the province of the concern. It's very stupid, it's within the total. It's one of the whole credits into which we have the concentration of the into. The second issue is to bring the first one of the 207 or 8 funding before. Advance to deal with this overstretch. It's one of the options that we're looking into. So we had put the matter before the provincial creator and we saw that they had taken the matter up with national creator in terms of those processes. Because chairperson, that over expenditure is because anticipated from the federal non-approval of the rollover. The issue that you're engaging in the following this year, which may be clear that one of the last two occasions, I think it's a good thing. The issue of Motero and the expenses of the 7% as well as civil season 26%. The bridge is financed over two financial years. So this is the first year of the construction of the bridge, because it has various phases in terms of the casting of the bridge. So the 7% should be looked into 07 or 08, because the larger chunk of the construction of the bridge is in the 07 or 08. But here it's only the putting of the pilots of the country in terms of the size. So it's not in any way the under-experience to look into the whole construction. The association indeed has a 36% expenditure as the head of the third court. The reason I counted for this, the contractor had to be, the contract had to be terminated. We had to go through some bit of the individual's finances, which had been removed as a result that the contractor must move out of sight because they were not performing and they were only managing the cash flow. And then there's SME. So this contractor has been put out of the contract, and indeed that group is going to be completed. We have also changed the design because this is also one of the routes that was designed for EWP, but due to the delay, the redesign had to be made to ensure that it becomes a project. This is what we call the The third is the EWP project. This is also a route that was funded for 604. So if you look into the 45%, and I do believe when the NCOT was held in Paris, one of the members that attended the NCOT saw that group, and that's the reason for the trust. It's that group which is certified as a country, so that I can have access. And I think it's one of the most beautiful groups that's competing with the two programs competing in Texas. The capacity issue. The Swedish Health Department indicates more than available capacity that is associated with the Swedish. In the previous speaking, the previous administration, the MEC had indicated that we are recruiting candidates to ensure that we bring the necessary and the requisite skills within the department. We have done exactly that, and we're in-house and available. It's quite satisfactory, and we're sure that if we're not populated in the technical scale in terms of the allocated budget. But this issue has also been taken, I think, with the public health department in terms of the intensive practice, in terms of the salaries and allocation. It has been provided to visa, and visa seems about to sign. But still, I don't think that the intensive studies that are coming in countrywide will be competitive today. To the private sector, because it's about taking some technical people to level A and the DDGs. I think that the rumors will not necessarily that. But the problem is habits also when I have to deal with the scarce skill process, and that has also assisted us to obtain the requisite skill. But over and above, the process that was started in the progress in 2003 to recruit students, right? This financial year, we have 100 students that are coming only doing engineering and various sources of the engineering profession. Those are the students that we are getting and training and continuing to train. But we also recall that most of the technical people that we have were only having diplomas. We have now entered into a new phase with the University of KZN, where they are upgrading into the level of engineers. So currently taking 16 students and upgrading to the level of engineering. And 8 other additional students are exposed to training, where they will also be upgrading their levels to ensure that they have the necessary skills in the department. So it's an ongoing process that we're ensuring that at any given year, we'll have about 30 additional technical skills in the department, which will also be deployed to the facility structure.
Just two questions on the first issue you raised about losing some money from other provinces to others. You know, the problem is that a lot of money, health, were raising a concern now. It looks like now there is no paper trail to trace what money was taken away. But then there was no official commitment in writing that said we were going to extract this money. I think it's a matter that we also want to use and take serious, because those issues are very critical. Now, what do you do when you have lost this money? So, as part of your plan, and somebody has left it, and you are left with a gap to fill it. So these are some of the matters we are just cautioning that the people are engaging, but also are trained. Let there be official engagement in writing so that the meeting of these people are open to the place. Good faith is also fine, but good faith can also be a bit problematic. But secondly, maybe one of the things you might want to do, I mean, some of the members here are from your provinces, is to deal with this issue of capacity. There is this subsection that deals with capacity. The problem is in allocating the provincial infrastructure grant at the provincial center. 93 may where the receiving provincial departments like yours lack capacity designate a percentage not exceeding 1%. You might want to say not every 1% is too little, and what would be your own proposal? That's in the context of this item. so that has become the formal part of the Indian financial year. As a review with that, maybe something that you might want to give some money to all of them. Mr. Piso, you will have to give money to the Gandhi, housing, to Mr. Sokoli, etc., etc. And you are not going to give money to me.
In conclusion, we had the honor to be visited by the Honorable Minister of Finance. One of the issues was raised was the fact provinces always complain that there is money in abundance if the provinces expand and give a special condition of finance. We have done that, but there's no money for country. I think other provinces will say the money.
It's not a very deep study.
Sir.
Yes.
That's a small article. You know, he's appreciated the fact that there is capacity. But if you look at the capacity, it's only 2% of the energy. And the other reports that we are hearing from the education, from the health, doesn't give the same what we call the implication that we get to here. You know, in the past, when we brought this department with those departments in the same group, we didn't hear the figures which we get to that package because those departments are complaining that I'm not just talking about this case only, I'm talking about the other provinces as well. It was kept by housing because it took your parents' money from housing. We never believe that now. So I'm talking the issue is that we really need to look at this as a comprehensive standard from
No, you're right. Last year, the money was given to the Northern Cape. Yeah. And this time around, Northern Cape are number last in terms of performance. Hospitals are right. They are the lowest, worst performance. Only Northern Cape. Everybody else from whom will take that money? Very hard. Another game is 34%. And maybe the Navy will rush into giving money to another case. It was a big rush. And maybe the reporting was also not the best. I'm not sure what went wrong. We still need to know from the Northern Cape exactly what went wrong. Yes, you know, the MEC is that much because they are still building international airports. We will allow them because they don't have many flights to their provinces. Go. For these people, rather than go to Malawi, it's housing, it was about a million flights into housing. Some of you are still building. We know Kurukwan Airport is still, I'm not sure whether still officially designated an international airport now. He's still planning and designing an international airport. That one is no more international airport now. I'm not sure what the status is. The 15th, well, I've seen that they are in aviation. I'm not sure whether they're planning a big deal regarding the international airport. Now, let's take the MEC from the Eastern Cape, right? Now, everybody else who must connect will be released until the fourth quarter. But those that really are comfortable with their flights can come in with us and free lunch and say ask what is in here.
Thank you very much, Chair. I think it's good that some provinces will be leaving before we make our presentation. So that we can mobilize to take from the other to the escape. Chair, basically, I'll be presenting our report for the third quarter, but will also include for you a progress report on the KIRAID, which is one of our flagship projects, as we are trying to turn around some kind of investment strategies in the Eastern Cape. I know very much that last time when we were here, we were understood by the committee. And of course, today we will present our report. Chair, in the province, if I could just briefly capture some of the strategic priorities in terms of the provincial growth and development strategy. Transport and roads, infrastructure, it has been located as a central requirement for us to be able to turn around that province. Therefore, as the Department of Transport, we are provided with the key responsibility of making sure that our road network is maintained, and we are also able to build new roads. And of course, in doing all these things, we have to insert in our operations the standard public works principles, so that we are able to create as many job opportunities as possible. And of course, you know very much that we are also looking into rail as part of the offloading, you know, pressure from our road network. And that project, we've been working for that project for some years. And in the report, we'll indicate to you that I think by the 29th of March, we will have that rail running. But of course, that also presents a very serious pressure in terms of availability of our budget. We are looking into some strategies in terms of revenue generation that includes fast-tracking tolling strategies into some key areas within the province. We are undertaking this task, working very closely with the SANPA, and our intention is to make sure that we achieve some of these plans within a short possible time. We have some areas which I think we will present for you for your own consideration. Without taking more of your time, I will ask the head of department, Dr. Marie de Villiers, to just make the presentation. We might keep some of the slides so that we don't take much of your time. But we also want to brief you on the status of our rail renewal strategy. Thank you very much.
Thank you. First, I'm going to speak the first two slides and go straight to the expenditure trend for the conditional grant. And as you can see, the third quarter was 607, the budget was 742 million, and expenditure at 31 December was 522 million, which gives us an expenditure of 70.35%. We can go straight into the explanation for expenditure variation. Like the other provinces, we did suffer severe showers, rains since July the 6th, and which did have an adverse effect on our capacity to spend. Implementation of three projects have also been held to delay because of environmental issues and the approval that we delayed. These projects we subsequently handed over to the contractors for implementation during December on various dates. So the client received variance, mainly 35 million, which is a trademark rejection, has been accommodated in the cash flows of the fourth quarter, and thus the budget will be fully utilized as all contractors are working on an accelerated construction program. Let's skip the next slide and go to 26. Expenditure claims on the commercial infrastructure plan and total capital expenditure. If you have requested us to reflect a bit on that, the provincial infrastructure plan in the third quarter, 522 million spent out of 742 million, transfers to municipalities of 114 million, and these transfers relate specifically to program 3, which is a public transport program, and I will need to get the details of that. While then the other capital payments, excluding provincial infrastructure grants, amounted to 43 million, which is a total capital expenditure of 580 million, of which the provincial infrastructure grants pool remains a very high percentage of 90%. We can go to 27, the breakdown of 06-07 transfers. Specifically in terms of the provisions of the National Land Transportation Framework, these various municipalities have been listed and the amount that has been transferred to them. And I take his point of previously saying that we need to go into this in more detail. Then, in certain instances where we have budgeted for transfers, we did not make certain transfers, specifically in terms of the vehicle testing station. We was only awarded in December, and therefore the funds were transferred in February. KSD, unfortunately, has not submitted the integrated transport plan as well as the audited financial statements, so we could therefore not make transfers. Funds to Chris Marley, the second facility, from the adjustment estimate of November 2006, were only transferred in February. Then expenditure trends for the third quarter, just a graphic presentation of what I've already presented there, conditional grants versus total expenditure. Management and monitoring mechanism, departments attend monthly site meetings and progress meetings. In addition, the program managers as well as the CFO who ran visits to sites and assess progress bonds and this detailed book report. Specific reports are submitted on progress with respect to the social indicators, DEE, etc. Monthly email monitoring reports are submitted. Are doing six projects and in terms of the service and work limit for the department and the municipalities, as you say, have submitted their IDPs in order to take funds coming to transfers and we monitor them on a continuous basis. And the next one is the social indicators, they're just there for your information. The projects that we've completed in 06-07 is Adelaide before Beaufort. These projects have started previously, but we've actually completed them in the Sikala, the Lady Fair, Phase 2, the Jogos of Okurene, Enter to Prime Mouth, Yukit to Langlin, Phase 1, and Fear to Mount Fresh. The challenges that we are faced with is very similar to all the other provinces. For us, the reduction in the PIG allocation of 242 million in the next financial year and over the NCF of 980 million means that it's not just followed up by Equitable here, and therefore, as NCC, we will have to find alternative funding mechanisms for those projects that have been put on our books for quite a bit long time. Also, similar to the KZN, we do experience shortage of road building materials. gave a short outrage in maintenance allocation, and as I pointed out previously, we are starting to change that ratio. The adequate funding, as you said yourself, like one of these discs that just go on and on, that you skip that, and this case also the question of the internal capacity, and we also experience the problem of long procurement cycle of consultants. The next slide of keeping the data points enough showing the impact of before and after the conditional grant, and also the adjustment of the indicative figures, to show the percentage decrease there, which we will have to find alternative funding resources for. And we can go straight then to the specific projects that we will have to find alternative funding for, one of those projects there as well. The issue of the impact of infrastructure backlogs, we've also done a quantification of that. And as you can see, in terms of maintenance, our allocation for 06-07 was 550 million. The maintenance needs on our roads, 1.9 billion. And referring to your earlier remark, why are we so many parts, why are the roads so bad? We're trying to quantify that and to acknowledge that our roads on generally the condition is not what it should be. Then I've just on the next slide given a more in-depth quantification of the maintenance allocation, maintenance needs as well as the backlog, and how the cumulative backlog then stretches out and becomes more profound as we continue with the years. Before I close, I can just also align myself to the statement made by Peter and myself to say that out of the 43,000 kilometres or 48,000 kilometres of low network that we have in the province, 43,000 kilometres of level roads and 5,000 kilometres of surface road. And I think that, in an overall sense, just explains to you the extent to which we are unable to attend to the global road network, and that we also want to change that over in terms of doing more blacktop roads, supporting alternative servicing solutions, as well as through light intensive methods. Thank you very much. That's the end. I have added schedules to give the precise data of which projects that we've been working on. I will now request Mr. Foyal to give a card of presentation.
Thank you, Chair, and members, and honorable MCs. I'm just waiting for the position to come up with the screen. I'm not happy. Thank you. We may go back trying to present the revitalization strategy for the rail network in our province. I'll give a bit of background in terms of why we actually looking at this. We're a little bit unique as the province of the Eastern Cape, purely because we don't have the luxury what other provinces have of having a complementary infrastructure, which is rail, which assists the road network in moving the goods right through the particular provinces. What I've said in the background, 4 kilometers on 4 lines and 5 million cross tons per annum, which only one line in the province has that, which is the line possible from Springfontein. And the strategy is to function as a commercial enterprise, and 5% of the rail lines in the Eastern Cape are classified as 9-4 lines, which means, I mean, we've got a huge backlog. We've got a problem with the road network, because it has to carry all those roads that qualify now. The agencies, rail agencies, cannot actually carry through our problem. they are going to the main line, what is the Rumpati here is 5 million tons. This amounts to about 3,000 kilometers of track under Utala. There, but not Utala. And we think, you know, unable to adapt to small customer needs. But the reason they produce is because it's all the small customers that they really can't cater for. And the problem that they have is that the whole infrastructure, which is parallel to those lines, is under serious pressure. I mean, the road has 62, which runs from Kutasabeth, right through the Kamdus Valley, to the farmers up there. It's seriously quite a problem because Kutasabeth reduced the capacity to move the freight, which means then the alternative is road. There's no other alternative. And that creates serious problems in terms of workloads in the road. And communities have been providing for passenger service because of none of the beneficial rail service. And I've said there that about 8 million net tons moving between Cape Town and Durban, which move through the intercapital path and Eastern Gate. And the rail network is not catering for that. And it's estimated that 112 million tons by 2025. If nothing is done, well, I mean, we're in a problem. And then the reason is taking to reduce the economic divide between South Africa, the first and second economy. The rural economies will benefit, which is the eastern part of the Eastern Cape, and this will assist the SME in making farmers reducing the cost, unrelated and ineffective as a freight logistics and related services. This is actually out of the National Freight Logistics Strategy, which is done by the National Department of Transport, which actually says this, that without looking at all the rural communities, which we're actually killing them for economic upliftment by not providing the proper transporting system for them and a cheaper one, which is the best they can actually sustain their particular activities. And we use the bright line to find the development and job creation in rural areas. There's a great tourism potential and scenic routes right through the eastern part of the Eastern Cape. And there's a customer demand utilization of rail services. This is tested with all the business communities around the area that there is demand for users. Because it's a cheaper way of moving goods. There is a demand for it to actually, these people to actually be able to move their actually goods with the rail network. And then there is enough capacity to accommodate this increase in demand. Because there are currently wagons and locomotives which are rotting away. In all the other stations that foreign is not actually interested in, which are there to actually be able to move the particular goods. This is a picture of on the narrow gauge line, which is parallel to the R62, between Pillars of Portisabeth and Aventur. These are the rail tracks that are arriving. They never tried to advertise in the paper to cut them into pieces, and for options and for scrap metal. Reasons continued. Many non-core lines have existing leakages in areas where second economy is dominant. And social upliftment and poverty innovation in these areas can be achieved through commercial activities supported by efficient rail service. The socio-economic benefits, better and more efficient access to markets, with effective and efficient infrastructure to assist in attracting new investments. The cost savings for business, huge cost savings for business. If you look at the cost of transporting goods by rail and by road, currently in the country, it's a huge cost savings for business in rural areas. Opportunities for improved linkages with the internet, I would emphasize backward linkages with the rural areas on the highway, which will assist some such areas going through Uthizana and those areas. Then I've actually put up a map of some of the areas that put up main line Kobo-Tsimo, which is through the Kobo-Tsimo rural sector area, which economic activity is currently very low, if not non-existent. We've got Amabele, Kumchata, and Spectrum up here. Then I've some of the lines that are through in the western part of the Eastern Cape. And I'm explaining that it's dictated by the environment. Currently, Transnet is the owner of the rail assets, as we all know. We've engaged them in terms of listing the non-core lines and the possibility of doing that. And currently, as it is, the National Department is looking to change the legal framework. We're able to allow provinces to be able to manage this particular asset. And they will assist us in making sure that the backlog for roads is actually reduced. Because if everyone in the way that we're doing, I'm not so sure that we'll be able to alleviate the backlog. because the bigger problem we have is management of overloading patterns in our road network. Then I move on to our flagship project with the Kyrem, and I'm moving into more detail there. This is now a meeting that went on between the MEC and the minister on the 5th of September, where certain resolutions were taken that after the transfer, FEC would be actually for prospective operators in the line. In the interim, Metro Rail will operate, which is the one who's saying that that will happen on the 29th, 6th of April, and to establish a port regulator to facilitate the improvement of the port of Island. Because higher levels cannot operate on its own. It needs the port of Island to be able to sustain it. Without us having the port move those goods to there, then there's no way that our higher corridor will be able to function. And through the current further economic development in the higher corridor. This is a little map of actually what the line alignment is from Umtata to Island, and we want to make sure that Umtata arrives to Island and without having joined the main network that's government operating. And this is now the historic challenge. This tells the story. Because if you look at 1991, there was about 200 and something or tons moved through that route. This is now 1991. In 2003, that is the last time they operated on that line. It had gone down close to 40 tons they moved on that line. Now the question is, where has all the tonnage gone? Everything disappeared. They just moved to roads. They were all moved to roads. And then what happens to the road network? And the capacity still stays the same, but unfortunately, we now have all this pressure that's put onto the road network to be able to accommodate these extra carriages because corridors are pulling out of the eastern carriage because they don't see any potential financial benefits for them. This is just a pie of exactly what commodities will move in that line. In chemicals, building materials, investment stuff. That might have changed, but we've done a visibility study to check what commodities are being moved. If you move on to the next slide, this is just looking at the visibility study that's by in terms of high and low scenarios. That's looking at the rail freight traffic. What we think can move to roads if we actually implement that and work on that particular line. We're looking at about 409,000 tons. This was done before. Without the knowledge of the biological project that currently the institute is working on. I'll come back to that, move on to the next one. And I said capital requirements, fixed infrastructure, loading and unloading equipment, locomotives, and what was upgrading of the port of Island. As far as the infrastructure requirements that is required. And currently with the information of 409,000 tons, we're looking at about, if you move on to the next slide, you're looking at about 103 million in 2006 money per annum. That's what we're looking at to be able to get at least started on that line and get it operating within the necessary safety requirements. Then I'll let you guys on the visibility side. We did a business case result where we looked at the low and the high scenarios and what we're looking at in terms of, because obviously whoever wants to operate on that line, we need to know if it makes sense or not. I'm just going to move through this particular last slide, but they just tell a story in terms of if anybody wants to invest, you can go down to the issue of other business initiatives not included in the business case. When the business case was done, the issue of biodiesel projects was not on the card. It was actually just tied to it. It said realized with the Department of Agriculture that's putting the plan in place. We're looking at about 500,000 tons of canola. To move through that area through Umtata, which would be under the Ndungubu area. Those, if we don't implement the rail issue, those 100,000 tons will have to move by road. If you go on to the next slide, I've actually explained it. That would mean 50 more trucks on the road daily. Well, 500,000 tons of moving to Eastern Land, and obviously need the chemicals, and canola is a winter crop. So you need the chemicals and everything to actually get to Umtata and Lodel. So looking at about 300,000 tons, which equates to about 50 more tons on the road daily. That's if they load at 40 tons per truck. That's what we're looking at. Well, we're going to have a current problem with the road infrastructure in that particular area. I mean, that we can see. just to keep them in the start. Going to Muslim Bulgaria, which is way from example. The idea now is to look and make sure that the silos are built along the railway line. So that to make sure that wherever they have the harvesting take place, they can all be dumped in the silos. So that the rail can then be defined, moved, and put. Otherwise, our road network will not be able to support. And then I basically said, if you move on to the next line, the budget that you put, okay, there 2006, 2007 is supposed to be 43 million, not 13. So those are the budgets that we put for the past couple of years. We had a bit of problems with spending in some of the issues, but anyway, nothing to do. Then the way forward. The new fiber line of the province is formed part of the non-core network. It's very decided to be collected on this route. Throughout the provincial rent plan, taking into account the traffic demand for both passengers and freight on the different rail lines and tourism potential. This will then allow us to prioritize at the different lines given by allegiance to the ability of the service, talking to the particular people clients who actually use the lines. Designing financial models which will allow rail operations and operators to be profitable. I mean, there's a lot of, depending on the lines, the utility of the particular line, you can look at different financial models to actually work on them. Enter into rent concessions or performance agreements with operators to make sure that you operate the particular line. Acquire rolling stock, including locomotives and ring-fence them for the particular service. So to assist your SME, really the expensive business. If you will expect anybody comes to the market, to actually buy the locomotives and the weapons, you then expect to take business to be part of this initiative. You're not really expecting anyone, SMEs or anyone of that sort, to actually benefit from this initiative. Enter into lease agreements with rolling stock. Once you own them, you'll be able to lease them out. Or assist the operators as part of the business case that was given. Assist the operators to lease equipment from the bank in whatever way possible. So assistance will be able to acquire the particular equipment and locomotives and weapons. Create capacity within the department to maintain the infrastructure, to make sure that it is the service level that you want to be achieved so that people can move from road to rail and be able to reduce the backlog on the road. You're then able to make sure that by maintaining them at a particular standard and making sure that a particular service is granted, you are able to make sure that it's sustainable. Create capacity to maintain rolling stock with some of the skills that already exist in the province. When foreign schools are in the province, they left a lot of people who are unemployed with the skills are there. And as the skills exist in the province, it's not a matter of just waiting looking for new people. The skills are there. It's just a matter of making sure that these people are being roped in to make sure that the initiative can work. And then estimated funding, if we can just browse through quickly, infrastructure maintenance and renewal. Then 150 in the listed rolling stock. This is the annum to make sure that we can seek and move this particular project moving forward. Then the other estimated funding for the port, to upgrade the port properly and be able to have a container terminal to assist with the carrier. This study is the desktop study was done, which says about 5.2 billion over the next 5 years is required. And then obviously, the estimated fees are then we can move on to the next, and obviously the resolution is required to support the initiative and assist us in making sure that we're able to move forward. Thank you.
Okay.
That was useful. Even though we will not discuss this one, but it is this is an initiative of that public, and we will not share it with you now. But part of the engagement order is it should be linked to the provincial growth and development strategy of the big time. Now, the issue that was I think it's already on the table for discussion in parties, and that the province must continue engaging with that. It's a very useful initiative. Within the context of And now the problem is that which are reason is that the bigger majority of that is the non-core. The non-core, and yet on the one hand the rule has become effective. That's for that kind of adventure. A huge pleasure, as you can see, would be able to link the Buddha in India then with the developing heaven center, if you like. So clearly, it's an interesting issue that we must be much more later. We must see how the problem is moving forward in trying to address this. I think also they are really asking for support for this thing, for this project, which would not be a problem really, because it does have to relate to the issues of surviving. Especially of taking off the pressures on the road network. And number two, having to ensure that there is growth in terms of the economy, as leaderships in terms of things. I think already there's a lot of talk about this issue of public transport, the links of this to that whole broader public transport. Actually,
have
many other things.
Mr. Sopan. Yeah, no, thank you, Professor. No, I think you're right to say this is a project that must be done. Anything indicates that the TPT is a flexible. However, as I said in the presentation, what couldn't come up well is the discussion whether it is in Transnet. Exactly. And we do know that government, for instance, has indicated the whole reconstruction of or redevelopment of infrastructure in terms of the rolling road as well. So maybe not only this committee, maybe or the other the committee on transport as well, it could be like the National Department of Transport, if we were to sit with us in one meeting, so that we could understand and try to assist in facilitating to if there are lockdowns that are there, where are they, how can they assist in expediting collective process, so that they do realize. Because I think that from the presentation, it's clear that there is a market on that price of the because it will be used as well to put up the rain between Uganda and Uganda when there is no market, there's no place to transport between these two places. I think that this would be a good idea. Same to say, Chair, in that it reminds me of my high school days, chemistry, when we used to travel from Uganda to via Uganda and to Cape Town.
Okay, then part of the issue is the interaction with the neighboring municipalities, because the land goes through. It was also in the context of their own energies, the issues that relate to those things. So there's a whole range of things that can be engaged with because the broader binding, the necessity is absolute. The issue of the broader binding and the commitment of funds, etc., etc., is then another element. And of course, the very critical issues of pressure on the one hand on the road, as you see, whether it's local roads, regional roads, provincial roads, on the one hand, and therefore the relief that is provided by this measure. So there's a whole range of engagements that I think would be very critical. in my view, so that everybody must then touch Kovnik, the project that is then on start. So you want to make a small comment on this one, the whole question, and this.
No, sir, I think your summary is really fine, because correctly, you know, the Skisa project, which is driven by government in the Eastern Cape, it has been located with a huge investment plan around the Zimbabwe catchment, yes, and the timber, of course, is one of the most important elements of that investment. You might know that next week, I think the 23rd, the Minister of Trade and Industry is convening a chamber summit in Mthatha. Clearly, if you are going to, you know, focus on timber, you must then look into means of transporting that. And already we are working on that. We will be building a factory since, you know, the Kyrie is going to take off the ground. In the main, we would appreciate, you know, a joint committee proposed where we could present more details. We are working very close with the minister on this. I think the fact that some, you know, authority had to be transferred to the minister so that Minister Khadebe could be able to fast track the process. It's highly appreciated. This chair, in my general approach in terms of infrastructure investment, I see it as a kind of a defensive strategy for our road network, because really, we you know, Kuka is also moving so fast in that province. Therefore, there is just movement, you know, in our road network of big trucks from Gauteng, Durban to Kuka. So we have to provide the alternative means for our, you know, as part of our offensive and defense of our road network. And rail, for sure, it can't be away from infrastructure investment. So we brought this matter to the committee because we believe it constitutes a lasting solution in our infrastructure investment. Because if you can't do that, then it means we will always be expected to put more budget for maintenance of road network continuously without any kind of you know, critical intervention. So in the main, we will appreciate if, again, the committee can call us with all the other relevant stakeholders, and because we would want to get this kind of intervention sooner. As I was saying already, you know, the ASKISA project, it has taken off the ground. So the timber, play role players are saying, where is your rail? We want your rail because we want to move our goods to the harbor. And so I'll be very happy if you can call me back to come back and get into more details about this rail.
Well, maybe then one of the issues with the bill, the one that was raised by the MDC Kitabi and Karaba Council, going to the 10K as part of the changing, that's going to be the same thing. Let's say that the host province,
there's a small economic situation there.
Yes. Yes, we chose low tech.
You're saving
the trees, but we're hoping that the information that the committee requires that we go for changing. If I'm going to start by saying that the original allocation that we had of peak funding was 150.6 million, and we received like an additional 103.6 looking at the India adjustment. And in terms of OPEX performance, then by the third quarter, we had already spent over 100% of what was originally allocated. But in terms of OPEX adjusted budget, it was 51 on the roadside, and 27 on the public website, which is like a small amount. Overall, we're sitting like at 58.7 of the adjusted budget. Now, we are indicating there that about 24 so million on the road funding that was provided for the flood damage, and about 11 million on the building side, on the public website, we won't be able to spend by the end of the financial year, because look of on the road side, it was on major structures that needed to look to be repaired, so they were designed that look had to look to be put together, in that particular instance, and there were also some sections of roadway that always get washed away when it gets flooded. So look, we're going for more long-term solutions rather than just repairing what was looking fixed. So that we won't be able to spare that amount. In as far as the public works side, that was the money for repairs on roads looking in nature reserve, and the need to look for EIA and so forth. Look at and slow down and look at progress there, but all of the work that is out look on tender as we speak. We have a clause with our provincial treasury, the possibility of trying to look to utilize the funding that are available on other projects, accelerating other projects, because there is capacity to do that, but we are advised that because not it was not allowed in terms of DORA, and that the money that was provided could only be utilized for the specific purpose that it was provided. But we were thinking that we could do that and then replace the money in the new financial year. But that was not possible. If you look at going through to the second page, and looking at overall capital, there I think these figures tie up with what was provided in the presentation from the Treasury earlier on. We're sitting at about 59% overall, but we're quite comfortable that we'll be able to utilize all of the resources except for the 34 and the 11 that I've already indicated. We might not be able to get to. Now, the third page deals with the issue of the transfers. I know that in our discussion at the report on the second quarter, the chair had also advised that we get in touch with the municipalities just to check the issue of the utilization of the municipal infrastructure grant. We did do that, and we did get in touch with both the departments of local government and housing, as well as the provincial treasury. And we've been given an assurance from local government and housing that our municipalities are performing very well. In effect, I think that the latest information was that 250 million of the 304 million, which was allocated in total NIC funding for the province, has already been utilized, and they can use more of that. However, in agreement with the Treasury, this issue is going to become one of the issues at the local government engagement, so that we tighten up the allocations and the purpose for which money are used. Our colleagues in Eastern Cape and KwaZulu-Natal, the transfers that are made to the municipalities are primarily for road infrastructure, where we have municipalities maintaining some of their local, their own network, or our own network local on our behalf, and in some instances where there are municipal roads of provincial importance that local believe need to be maintained for a certain standard, and as well as look to address issues relating to infrastructure for public transport. The performance day end of the third quarter was at 63%, and we look at point out looking in terms of the notes at the bottom that there are various factors that impact on the progress around the transfer. It's primarily the nature of the agreements and the timing of the transfers look to be paid to the municipality for one. But it also relates to the performance of the municipalities on the money that transferred. That affects primarily the public transport allocation. But on the road infrastructure side, the way that it works, that the municipality undertakes the work and then claims from us. So when we look into transfer or road infrastructure maintenance, it is on the basis of the work that's already been completed. And then the last point, seeing that the issue has come up, look around capacity. I know that we've made looking inputs, look in the past, look engagement, that, by and large, as a department, we've got adequate capacity, both look on the road infrastructure side, as well as look on the public work side. The internal of the concern in that most of our engineers are old, they're white and grey, credit copies. But we've got a program which involves increasing the number of surgeries, to engineers, your quality surveyors, all of the skills in the build sector. We've got 250 in total as you see. We've got an aggressive program around the learnership of about 780. Look at our learnership as you see. And we're also recruiting retired professionals because what we do have experience is that because of the workload, some of our guys cannot provide the mentorship that is required of the young and the new graduates. So we look for utilizing the retired professionals to close that gap as well. I thank you, Chair.
You know, one of the things you must do with the gray hair is to make sure that they dye the hair. And then raise them like that. They must not recommend gray, just dye, you must dye all the time. That's fine. But then there's a question I got just. I just thought of some questions really bad. What is the wrong term plan about these allocations that you are giving to municipalities? I know, there's a discussion in French, that I should always argue that conditional grants finally must be paid into the equitable share. Now, this is a conditional grant coming from yourself, from the equitable share. Originally, this is not a conditional grant. It's funny. Because it is provinces that I do have used conditional grants. And if you want to take that opinion, you have to. But anything, the province is not actually conditional grants. Or municipalities. So I'm just asking, what is then the long term plan? From where you sit at? Allocation to the funding. But then can we take questions with the water? And with Madam Shun.
See, not really. I just want to indicate that you said that you will bring the Department of Roads and Metro Rail and different. Not only affected this in Kash, because it affects all the provinces.
driver is not there, that people make use of Protestant. I think if I'm thinking as the Pope with a new mindset, Latina mind, that he struck, he damaged the road to our actually get this year service. So this affects the whole country in regarding the process here, and I think if we want to do that, we must bring all stakeholders together in not only certain provinces in regarding that process, which means that it's a very big issue what we're talking about here. We're talking about not millions, but thousands of millions now. Thank you.
Thank you,
Reverend
Shepherdson. One man who said she will report, it appears that she has quite a lot to spend on maintenance. Then perhaps we could look at the way the roads themselves are constructed. If it is possible to add cut stone before the soil is taken. I'm looking at one very big road that's been constructed. It's a bridge, but it's been constructed.
That is what we put in case that there is.
Do you know what? Whatever I'm thinking, I don't interfere with you when you speak, and you always suggest that you speak. And what I remember, So at this point, then I just want to look at you. In a way, the levels of the response of the structure of Christ, you could look at the addition of Christ. And that could also provide jobs for people at home, and we can follow all the stones in the mountains and provide more than for farming. And I think that there has been a mention some for the tea that some have gone to Germany to look at how their roads are constructed, because these are made a wonderful job building those roads which up to today they are there. So we have got to look along those lines also. Of building permanent roads. The other issue, we would have to consult the weather people, geological people. But every 10 years, they are great floods in South Africa. In 1977, we had the flood, 1987, we had the flood, and they actually even conducted bridges. So I think, in all the vision of Zora this year, we're going to make an allowance. Of that possible cyclone that comes on and it destroys almost everything which is called a road that's bridges. And so far,
so good.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for the comments. They are all no chats. Nobody's going to respond to all the comments with me from Mr. Porter up to yourself. I noticed the comments. Do you have not raised questions? Look, there's something called collision circle back in this country that kicks in when there's a disaster. So it's not going to be also in the immediate drama. Or there is a national collision to yourself. But there are also disaster issues at municipalities, etc., etc. So again, I don't think we need to do something. Okay, it's this one.
My apologies to furniture. You know, the starting with the Western Cape, I think that if you have touched on something that I wanted to raise with other provinces. This transfer to municipalities. What roads are these? Are they provincial roads? Because these are municipal roads, so you can get the access. There is an IG that tends to deal with it. But also the other question to Eastern Cape, I mean to Western Cape, according to the provincial weather. And I think that I didn't hear that it would be confirmed that the 858 system at every end of December of 9 months, that's where we start.
comment?
And then the responsibility of providing goes to Kamiyama. This thing was in greatest development planning. I think it's an issue that needs some serious engagement, especially with the staff department that provides, and especially the trade, must always be talking to each other. Roads, education, and none of these infrastructure issues should fall down. In fact, I'm still in some small suburbs here. Wherever I go, wherever it is, my constituents will welcome wherever. Before anything else is built, road network starts. Then other things then follow. It is not the other way around. So that's it. The face can lie. We've got to do that. Looks like there is one.
No, sure, you're correct. In fact, one of the problems is the fact that you see, most of these clinics are built in local municipality jurisdictions, of which the competency for road construction, then it gets into become the responsibility of a particular municipality. But we have been able in cabinet to beef up our cabinet clusters so that we've got a proper planning strategy now for our road network and priorities. Those roads that get into a number of sectors are then integrated now than before. I'm sure the member will be on the radio. He was really talking about a situation that actually happened in the past. But for the future, we are integrating our planning strategy. We are actually even looking into some roads that are supposed to be servicing agriculture sector. You know, even the farming communities, because those that have to do with the economic life of the province. So we've got a more integrated approach. Now, in terms of what we have done, Chair, in the last financial year, with the 1.3 billion and all that, our challenge in the Eastern Cape is you will know that we've been focusing on building new roads. If you check in the report, I think it's page number 12, that's where we have listed all the breakdown of the roads, where we build them and how much was allocated. As a result, we were then challenged with the process of maintaining. So we can't balance the maintenance, the new works. We have to have the capacity in our budget so that the new roads that we have built must be able to continue to maintain whilst we also continue to build new roads. Because this is a rural province in the main. But I think if you come down and do this, we'll take you to some of this. The Yogi Valley, it's a major investment. It's more than, I'm sure my colleague there, you seem to be in agreement with me. It's a major investment, If you drive there and see what that road has done to the economy. It is a strategic investment. People are going there, building filling stations, building hotels, just by building a road. So just to put in place a road network, it can affect many other, sectors in your economic like it will be the case with the highway. Just by having that train running there, you will see our economy going to change. So we have spent our money in a nutshell in putting more of new roads, and we in our previous program we've got more than 8 or 7 new roads that we have constructed, ranging from 70 kilometers, some 200 kilometers,
Thank you.
Can I raise one point? I'm very sorry. I want you to raise this for me. You see, I'm worried. I'm not convinced what I'm going to say right.
In Tibet, there is a road there which is called R51. R51, it is a road that is coming all the way crossing the Guadalupe. And that road, it's a national road. It's maintained by national road agents. They are financing the construction and maintenance of that road up to a point where, in fact, there will also be some tolling in that road network. That road network, it has been like that ever since, you know, the existence of Pakistan separate development. What I'm worried about is the fact that national road agency continues to maintain that road up to King Edward on the KZN side. It is not maintained through KZN budget. It's a national budget. But it still maintains this separate development thing, you know? And then once it enters the Bizana, and then it starts to look different, you know, it then reflects this old apartheid kind of, you know, trend. I am raising this to me because I have raised this with national relations. But I think these are very fundamental questions that we need to deal with, because we can't allow today to have a situation where the resources are spent in a way that is not balanced. I know we are working on the N2 development project there, but my point is that you cannot allow a situation where today in this country our national resources are actually spent in one sector of our road network. So I'm raising this thing. I know that maybe national road agency can explain better, but myself, I'm not happy. I know Gauteng is very happy because, you know, they've got all these nice things, you know, cow trains, they've got videos of that.
They encounter problems when they have to go back home. Don't push me. No, I think one thing Mr. Borda was saying is just in terms of calling all these stakeholders. Because clearly that also has to do with transformational issues. And therefore, how do we look this issue of backlog? Just cut across all the rural provinces. And this is why the question we are raising all the time is how equitable are the conditions of the child? For us, that is very fundamental. So that as we do those things, we must also be mindful of the huge challenge that that comes. So clearly, you guys, the matter that we must find a way of getting a reason, shall we? Mr. Nick?
Thank you, ma'am. I think there are six questions that the director team raised. I'm going to go through them in order. Let me take a little bit of the issue of spending first. I tried to indicate to the committee that in terms of the original allocation, by the end of the third quarter, we had spent all of this, 100%. That's the third test. But what happened in the assessment in response to the flood damage is that our peak run was actually almost double, 44% of what is in that 234 to 86 is what came in November. And the percentages that are reflected there include they adjusted amounts. Now, at the end of the year, we tried to produce and show that the resources are utilized was trying to utilize the remaining amounts on other projects, but we could not do because of the condition looking for himself. And I would want to raise sort of an issue of contradiction, because if we, in terms of the budget, we operate the LLMTF, which is around over 2 years, and if one takes the logic that's contained in the IDI, the Infrastructure Delivery Improvement Program, it actually recognizes that look, when you manage infrastructure projects, you find that there are some projects that that progress faster than others. You should be able to look to utilize the resources and you can move the money around so that you don't waste or you don't delay delivery. And so we find that with the conditions in the DORA, we cannot do that. And we believe that one issue that can be or needs to be looked at. So we were confident when we asked for the adjustment, because we were already 100%. The second question relates to the transfers. I think the chair asked what the long-term plan is for the transfers, and then somebody I think wants to know a little bit more about which of the municipal roads provide transfers for. It is the municipal proclaimed roads that are offering for significant. Those are the roads that we give assistance to, and it should contain in one of the pieces of legislation that we have in the province. Now, if I can venture a response with regard to the long-term plan for transfers, I'll say that there are a number of developments that are going to impact on that. I think Kumbuto has been driving, Makodoma has been driving an initiative throughout the country for road infrastructure financing strategy. And that is going to look at how we, as public authorities, how we manage road networks and looking at the country and the needs of the country as a whole, and also looking at who's best placed to maintain which part of the network, and then dealing with the issues of local power with fund that particular responsibility. I think the other the development would be around the provincial growth and development strategy, because those two highlight the role that networks or portions of networks play to support the growth of the province. And the approach is a joint one between the provincial authority as well as the municipality in addressing those needs. The ICT, or the Integrated Transport Plan, that the municipalities put together would then feed into the IDP, would be quite informed of around the priorities and what needs to be attended to. Now, as the third question was the issue of the incomplete freeway, there was a conscious decision taken by our department as well as the city of Cape Town around whether to complete this particular freeway or not. And the decision that still stands is that we prioritize the investment into public transport than the completion of that particular stretch of the network. So look, as you've seen, we're going to be investing more in completing and upgrading public transport. Because, and this links to your later question, which raises the question as to who does the planning? Why do we still have congestion on our road network? The reality is that you cannot solve the congestion problem by providing more infrastructure or road infrastructure. It's been tried elsewhere. If you look at the U.S., you go to L.A., they've got wide freeways, they've got 8 lanes in each direction. And our belief is that in order to address issues relating to congestion, you have to improve your public transport. because public transport moves more people than what we're currently able to do in the private vehicles, where you find that there's a single occupant drives a load of vehicles. The other strategy relates to travel demand management, so that I think the chair raised a question relating to education or the location of health facilities in a different context. But what you're really saying is that there has to be an approach that promotes sustainable human settlement, where you locate your social infrastructure, your economic infrastructure close to where people live, so that they don't have to to drive and travel very far to get to the services, or to get to an employment center as well. So the design and development of settlements is a key issue as a long-term sustainability approach. And as a third strategy, what we're going to be soon looking at is congestion charging. You look at the city of London, that's what they brought up there. But they understood as well that you do have to improve your public transport before charging people for using their vehicles. Because you do have to provide an alternative. When we charge people for single occupant usage of their car, and more of a direct, I don't know if you're really interested in the response to who does the road planning. You've got several authorities that are involved, the municipalities that are involved, the road agencies involved. Not ourselves that are involved, because we are responsible for different sections of the road network in the code. I think with that care, I've tried to cover all six questions that were started the way.
Thanks. Okay, Mr. Matsuzo. Any reflection to say that? Suppose the whole interaction.
Okay, thank you, Chairperson. I think first of all, I would like to just indicate that the department is quite satisfied with the several discussions that have been held. I think my mandate was to come and be in hand to have any matters that would be directly related to the department or any of the strategic approaches we're taking to deal with road network management issues. And I think quite a lot of the challenges that have been raised and the questions that have been raised by members of the committee. The road infrastructure specific framework for South Africa is directly wanting to address. I think the approach that has been taken within the framework has enabled us to work very closely with national federally, the Department of Provincial and Local Governments, and other stakeholders, particularly provinces. And through provinces, we are wanting to strengthen our interactions with municipalities to begin addressing some of these issues that possibly that we need to be building up over time because of the sheer size of the infrastructure of government and just the challenges and in relating to elevating the profile of road infrastructure in terms of then how municipalities prioritize and their investment. Because we see a serious challenge around the infrastructure. It remains the one area where we have serious challenges. But I think we are beginning to define a very big role that government can play in terms of helping us to address challenges of municipalities. So that would be the one general commission. I think secondly, I want to indicate that in terms of the questions that are being raised about the national road agency, again through the strategic framework, we've tried to alert the agency to the fact that it is not an island existing on its own. Quite a lot of the work that they do is done within the jurisdictions of provinces and municipalities. And certain processes we have led as National Department of Transport to try and foster this kind of integration. A very simple example is the process which was led by myself under the instruction of the Minister to try and put up the freeway system in the Gauteng province, because it has implications for all authorities that are responsible for planning, not only just road infrastructure, but economic development and social infrastructure. And that role we'll be happy to play in any of the provinces to be able to make sure that we foster this kind of integration. But I must just indicate the one question that was raised about the annual section in the Northwest, I would be very happy to announce that that contract has been let as early as January this year for the improvement of the work. I know that because I also have the privilege of sitting in the Sandro Board, and specifically the contract committee, and that's what it has been let now. And nothing major works to begin. But I do need to indicate how this process works. I think you start with the process of transferring a specific role from a province to the national location. That role must be declared. Then the province and the national locations must sit down and work out issues relating to coordinates of the road and land register issues and all that stuff so that the road is properly registered under the national location. And in certain cases, records don't exist, so that process takes a while. When all that has been resolved, the agents must go out and do condition surveys so that they actually understand exactly what is necessary in terms of improving that road. Immediately then, when it has that info, it must do what is called emergency maintenance. That's where you see potholes and just, you know, your minimum being done to try and stop the further deterioration of the road. While that is being done, detailed training is being done to be able to then get the actual work scheduled, funding allocated, and then over the MTS period or longer, then the work would then be programmed. And you must remember that when a road gets transferred from a province to a national road agency, it begins to compete with other national roads. It might be important for this province, but when it competes with other national roads, then other dynamics are at play. And I think then that's the priority time that would come in play. And so you find that, and I think a simple case would be the R-7 in Limpopo. It was a very high salary for Limpopo, particularly because of the platinum mining and all the issues at that time. But when it became part of the national system, other priorities started emerging, like the entrance in the Northwest. And the programmatization yielded that role basically to be working in terms of major work starting in 2009. Now the problem was very unhappy, understandably so. But you see, now you're comparing apples with apples, and then you need to make a decision what's going to work. So the good news is that while 2 years ago there was this complaint about this role and the work was not seemingly coming out of the agency, now it's going to come up for the entrance. And I think we'll still start to see the improvement. The Free State made a comment on how many of those agents as well about the unintended consequences of the old transfers and the accidents that have been experienced on the NA. I think also we have a responsibility to educate communities in this regard. If a road changes classified and it's now classified as a national road, it serves a completely different function to what it was serving before. If you're going to improve its standards, it's going to adhere to new quality benchmarks and it's going to be constructed using new completely different standards, and the mobility of the road changes its nature. As a result, it can't be used as business anymore. The accesses are going to be limited because that's what our technical design guidelines indicate. And we need to make sure then that we restrict the level of access into the road network itself so that we don't get any challenges of unintended consequences of accidents. But having said that, I think we saw the NGO of Zimbabwe yesterday on the news about the bus accident. And the problem of just people stealing fences that you put up to try and prevent lives of and people who are coming into the road, that is a high mobility road. So clearly then you would have this around them. I think it's our collective responsibility, and I would encourage close engagement with the agency so that if we need that problem exists, we do begin to address it. I know that in the intersection of Kalvanji, some road safety interventions were made, but the issue of fencing and just keeping animals and people out of the road network, if it's a high mobility road, becomes very important and continues. Jefferson, I also think that you made a very important point around the need for strong emphasis on integrated planning, the issue of bringing the provincial growth and development strategies as well as IGPs strongly into the way that we provide and maintain our road network system in the country. I think at a very high level, the strategic framework also promotes this integration of the road network system. And it says two things. If you're going to intervene on roads, it must be based on two main factors. The one would be the quality benchmark that we use, so that our roads are always kept in sufficient quality to be able to then perform their function. But secondly, it should be informed by needs. Okay. So it's not a supply driven thing, it's about needs. And those needs don't emerge from nations. They emerge from areas that really, you know, are tasked with growing the economy and improving. session with the people. And I think we just concluded an exercise. It's not only a road transport problem, it's a general problem at macro level. Government was working to try and develop an integrated infrastructure plan at macro level for all sectors. And it remains a challenge. I think there's better appreciation now that we need it, but it's important now that we must do it. We had a third association trying to, for instance, reconcile Eskom plans in Mpumalanga with road plans in Mpumalanga. Because Eskom currently needs to move a lot of coal, but there are no rail systems to move it, so they move it by road. The roads are not coping just because of the sheer volume of traffic. So the roads are suffering. I think it's just a general thing that government needs to strongly emphasize on. Let it be based on needs, and those needs must then be based on an integrated process across the state of government. So that's why we're trying to definitely, if you allow me, I think I'll stop there. Quite a lot of the issues we will compare with, and I think within the strategic framework for all, we are working very hard with provinces and municipalities to resolve those problems.
Thanks for that, and I think it means you've already alerted us on issues that we must then monitor going forward. The question is helpful very much. Philips, anything? Right, there has been a letter from an ordinary South African citizen that is African to me, I must read it. It says, the death road linking the third road between Mount Fletcher and Matatiel on one side and Mount Square from the SV Ngonyami and off from Mount Fletcher was awarded to some construction company from Mississippi, about 100 meters west of stone was delivered, and then, even before it was crushed and smooth, the company left. What is happening? Why did the company leave? And when is the road going to be done, ultimately? From the Wanyame to LV, Kuzimunga, and Mount Fletcher, as promised. Does anybody recognize these areas? Problem?
No, they are part of the Eastern Cape. Do you have any understanding? Can
you tell me? It's a gravel road, I guess, and they're talking about maintenance. So I'm not sure of whether they want to contact us or whatever on that to check it out.
All right, what you just do, Chair, maybe let's clarify this. You see, we've got two categories of roads. We've got provincial roads and local municipality roads. What is lacking in that road, in that information, is a category. If it's a provincial road, it should have been referred to as a T something, T number something, and then we know it's a provincial road. So in this case, we don't know whether it's a local road or it's a district municipality road, but we can carry it and find out and do something.
I'm going to get all comprehensive information and then fetch this letter to yourself. And then I will await response in the next 2-3 weeks. Okay. Thank you very much for your engagement and of course the commitment to address all the challenges. Can we go to lunch just next door, all of us, and thereafter the meeting is adjourned?